Jesus came down with the 12 apostles he just chose and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And everyone in the crowd was trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven." That is how their ancestors treated the prophets. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do unto others as you would have them do to you." Anthropology is the scientific study of human beings. It overlaps several disciplines such as biology, culture, history, psychology, and so on. Christian anthropology adds the element of faith. I think of it this way. Christian anthropology is anthropology that marinates in our belief that we are created in the image of God. I took a class in Christian anthropology in my first year in seminary. I learned something there that continues to impact my faith life. It was this: God created human beings with a craving to connect with God. That's how we're created. That craving is part of who we are as human beings. Our biggest problem is that we have an uncanny ability to misunderstand and misuse that craving. There's an emptiness in our souls. As human beings, we need to fill that emptiness. But we too often try to fill that craving with the wrong things. Blessed are you who seek to fill your human cravings with God's blessings. Blessed are you who fill yourselves in your cravings with God's wisdom. Blessed are you who fill yourselves with God's forgiveness. Blessed are you who fill yourselves with God's peace. Blessed are you who fill yourselves with God.
There's an old story which has crossed over into several cultures. It's told about Socrates, it's told about Buddha, and I think it's a perfect story for Christian anthropology. It begins in a familiar way. A young man is trying to discover the meaning of life. So he finds a wise man meditating on a mountaintop. The wise man takes the young man to a river. Oh, maybe this was going to be some type of baptism. And all of a sudden, the wise man took the young man by the neck and plunged his head underwater. And he held him there for a long time. The young man was kicking and struggling to get free. And finally, the wise man released the young man, who was coughing up water and gasping to catch his breath. After a while, the wise man asked, "What did you want most of all when you were underwater?" "Air," the young man answered, "air." And then the wise man said, "When you understand that you crave God as much as you wanted air, you will find the meaning of life." Craving God is the meaning of life. What I love most about this story is that the young man didn't have to learn how to crave air. It was automatic. It was instinct. The same is true of our craving of God. We don't have to learn to crave God. It's part of us. What we need to learn is that there's no substitute for this craving. There was no substitute for air in the story. There is no substitute for God in the story of our lives. Blessed are you when you understand that you crave God. Woe to you who try to find something better than God. Woe to you who try to be filled by things that never satisfy. Anything we call sin. Things like greed and immorality and the like. Today we celebrate All Saints. In the early church, anyone who believed was called a saint. We heard that in our second reading today. Paul was writing to all the saints. He meant all the believers. It was centuries later that the word saint was used primarily for those who had died. And then it became to refer mostly to famous or exceptional saints. But I like the original meaning of the word. A saint is any believer. The word saint means holy, set apart for God. The chancel choir is going to sing a song today that's going to talk about this very thing and say that the saints are people like us. A saint is anyone who craves God. A saint is anyone who wants to be connected to God. Blessed are you who hunger for God. Blessed are you who crave God's comfort and wisdom and strength. In the beginning of this sermon, I said Christian anthropology is anthropology that marinates in our belief that we're created in the image of God. But does God crave? Do we get that from God? Did God create us craving? Does God crave? I would say yes. God craves a relationship with us. God came down in Christ Jesus to live among us, to experience that human craving, and to lead us to our ultimate craving, eternity with God. Long before I took that course on Christian anthropology, my mother taught this lesson to me. She gave me a book that she loved, which I still have. It's titled The Hound of Heaven. It's a poem by Francis Thompson. It's about the human soul's quest for God's love. And it's about our attempts to run away from God. But the poem is about God's relentlessness. God continues to chase after us. God is the hound of heaven. And God is going to find us no matter what. One of my favorite phrases about Holy Communion is that we receive a morsel of bread and a sip of wine. In a little amount, God comes to us in big, divine ways. In the last part of today's gospel reading, Jesus talks about some ways that disciples are to live: loving enemies, praying for those who persecute us, giving the shirt off your back, doing unto others as you would have them do to you. In other words, if God has given to us, and God has, we need to give back to others. This is the way that God's blessings are spread into the sea of humanity. God gives to us even a morsel and a sip, and we bring that love back into our world. Divine love surrounds us, just like air surrounds us. So let me suggest, feed your world with morsels of God's blessing. Morsels are fine. A little bit is fine. We don't do it alone. But together, God's love will flow through us and through these morsels. Think of those moments, that those small moments where a saint has blessed you. On this All Saints Sunday, I've been thinking about so many people that God has blessed me with over the years. Saints. Even that stranger who came out of nowhere and disappeared just as quickly after fixing our car that had broken down 20 years ago. Even thought of that saint. So even when you don't feel like it, give a morsel of kindness. Give a morsel of generosity. Give a morsel of blessings. Give a morsel of love. The proverb is often said, and it's true, every little bit helps. And when we do a little bit together, God, who is with us and is working through us, will change the world through us. Don't get me wrong, it's okay to give more than a morsel. To give an abundance of kindness and generosity and blessings and love is a good thing. God is always giving us blessings in abundance. We receive God's blessings. We give God's blessings. And together we'll join the saints in heaven, the blessings of heaven, where there is no craving. And we will be satisfied for all eternity. Let us pray. Listen. God is seeking you. Listen. God is blessing you. Listen. God is loving you. listen.